Today on Lasting Hope, Pastor Greg Spires.
If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. When we live according to the appetites of our own desire, it leads us into death. All sin will lead to destruction and death. If we want to live a life of life, we live by the Spirit.
Welcome to Lasting Hope with Bible teacher Greg Spires, pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. As Moses had ascended Mount Sinai to receive the covenant from God, the Israelites were witness to the smoke and lightning and heard the thunder of God's presence on the mountaintop. But it wasn't until Moses discovered them worshiping the golden calf they crafted that they saw firsthand the judgment of God for their sin of idolatry. Pastor Greg continues our study series in Exodus today with a display of the ultimate grace of God in the end.
The people of Israel have left Egypt. The people of Israel have wandered through the wilderness. The people of Israel have come to Mount Sinai, where they have encountered the presence of God on the mountain in smoke and fire and lightning. The people have seen God as Moses has brought down a copy of the covenant on the stone tablets. The people, while Moses was up on the mountain receiving the covenant, made for themselves an idol of gold that looks like a cow, that they might worship that cow. And they held a worship festival for that golden cow, which involved worship, it involved offerings, it involved a party. And now we have sort of the conclusion of what happened. Moses had come down from the mountain, found what they were doing, had called the people to correction. Most had, not all had. The Levites then went through the camp, and all those who weren't repenting of their sin, they actually killed. 3,000 people died. And now we get the conclusion of that story. Moses is telling the people, I will go back up the mountain and see what I can do with God in regard to this great sin where you have abandoned him and worshiped idols while God was right there on the mountain next to you. And what Moses wants the people to understand, and what we're going to discover in this passage today, is that sin, rebellion against God, rejection of God, ruins everything. Ruined. We can't undo it, we can't fix it, and it's all our fault. Look at verse 30 of Exodus 32. Moses said to his people the next day, so all this has gone on. They've worshipped an idol. They've repented. Some people had to die because they wouldn't repent. And the next day, Moses said, you have sinned a great sin. And now I'm going to go up to the Lord, and I'm going to try and make atonement for you. Look at that last phrase. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. The biggest perhaps in the Bible. Perhaps. I'll let you know how it works out. Think of it this way. There's such a thing, we call it a tethered diver. A diver that is tethered. And what a tethered diver is this. You might dive into the ocean or a lake or your bathtub, and you wear those oxygen tanks, and you can swim around and you can do underwater diving and whatever. But another kind of diver has a long hose that goes up to the boat. And these guys, what the thing they can do is they can stay underwater without having to replace their tanks all the time. See these kind of divers maybe in industrial applications? And so they've got an air hose that goes up to a boat, and they don't have to keep swapping their tanks out. So they're tethered. So on the one hand, being a tethered diver means you have a constant supply of air. But the downside of being a tethered diver is that that hose will only go so far. At a certain point, the hose becomes restrictive. You can go some places, but you can't go other places. So you have two options. You can just stay where the hose allows you to go, or you can cut the hose off and go wherever you want. The hose provides life-giving oxygen, but it also restricts where you can go. And Moses is saying to the people of Israel, you just cut your hose. You just cut it off. You went where you wanted, and you have no idea you're drowning. Cut off the air hose. So what I need to do is I need to just fix that air hose, right? I just need to connect that air hose back together. But see, we're not smart enough with our sin. We didn't disconnect it with the quick disconnect. What we did is we hacked up the hose with a dull knife. And so now there's no fixing it. It's ruined. It's gone. There's no way for us to fix it. The air hose that connected us to God is completely destroyed, ruined. First thing we said is because we walked away verses 31 through 32, everything is ruined because the damage is permanent. The damage of our rebellion is permanent. So Moses returned to the Lord. He said, oh, my land, you're not going to believe this. God says, try me. Okay, I'm interpreting myself. Alas, they have made for themselves gods of gold. But now, if you will, forgive their sin. God says this, it's his words, take it for what it is. Whoever has sinned against me, what? I will blot out of my book. What is this book he's talking about? Back in ancient times, cities would have these books that were in rolls and had all the people who were in that city or that region. What you do is when you were born, they'd write your name in there, Bob Smith. And then you would stay in there until you moved away. And when you moved away, they'd scratch your name out. Or if they had a funeral, scratch your name out. So the book was always getting longer. Usually there were scrolls. And there was always sort of a window of time where it's all the living people in that region. And then they would keep moving it as years go by. The dead people would get scratched out and new people would be written down. And what Moses is saying is, God, you have a book with all of your people who are alive. And God is saying, everybody is in that book till I blot you out when you sin. And what God says is, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. So what Jesus does, according to the Bible, it says he receives on himself our sin. The way it says it is this: he who knew no sin became sin that we might receive the righteousness of God. So it's a transaction two ways. He receives our sin. We receive his righteousness. Now, what happens to all who have sinned, or who, in his case, has become sin? He has to be blotted out of the book, yes? That's if I'm reading Exodus right. So he is. What do we call that? The cross. He takes all of our sin that ought to remove us from the book. He receives that on himself, and then he is crucified, so God blots him out of his book. Our sin was permanent. The only way it could be permanently fixed was for God himself to pay for it. In that moment, we're going to experience grace and love in a way we never have before. All sin has permanent damage, and we'll see and experience the grace of Christ, even in glory, when we recognize what he saved us from. All right. Some of us, what we say is, you know what? I do sin. Okay, I've got some bad things. But, you know, I wasn't even totally involved, and my stuff wasn't as bad as some of the others. Look at Exodus 32, 34, and 35. Now, God is talking to Moses again. Lead the people to a place about which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel will go before you. Nevertheless, on the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. The Lord sent a plague on the people because they made the calf, the one Aaron made. Think about it this way. A group of guys go in to rob a bank. Four guys got a car. So three guys go in. They rob the bank. Go in with their guns, and they rob the bank. One guy sits out in the car, the wheelman, right? The getaway driver. So they go in. Who knows what happens on the inside? And sometimes these things go really bad. Maybe some people get assaulted. Maybe even they kill somebody in the effort to rob the bank. They come running out with their bags of cash. They jump in the car, and they drive away, and they get pulled over later. And they all get arrested. So the three guys who robbed the bank, they get arrested for murder, and they get arrested for participating in a murder, participating in bank robbery. And the driver, of course, he gets a ticket for speeding, right? Because he ran a red light. How does that work? Anybody know how that works? No, the getaway driver gets the same stuff. And the getaway driver, well, I didn't go in the bank. I didn't shoot anybody. I didn't take any money. Well, sorry, the getaway driver will be convicted of a crime, even as though he had gotten out of the car and got in and robbed the bank. And look at what happens here in this story. A plague came on the people who remain. Why am I bringing this up? Because already we've seen people pay some penalty for what was going on. So let's remind ourselves of the story. People were having a party, celebrating the cow. Party was going as parties go. Here's some corners of that party. They're getting a little rowdy. Moses comes down, and a whole bunch of the people go, oh, man, what were we thinking? Oh, what were we doing? So they immediately, they're like, that was stupid. And they walk away. But then Moses calls the Levites to him, and he says, we need to now go throughout the camp, because some of the people, they don't even care that I'm back. They want to keep the party going. And the Levites went through, and it says they killed 3,000 people who were unrepentant. 3,000 people who were still going crazy. So there's three people here, three kinds of people participating in this worship of the idol. You got some people who are all in. Like, that idol is my God, and I will worship him come hell or high water. Most of us can come down with God himself. That idol is my God. Now, you got another group of people who are worshiping the idol, but as soon as they were confronted with the truth, they're like, oh, wait, I'm out. What was I thinking? What was I thinking? There's another group of people that goes unmentioned because they did nothing, and that's the problem. The party was going on, and they said, that's wrong. So what did they do? They went back to their tent. They chilled. That's not my thing. And so these folks were passively involved, because what should they have done when this thing was going off the chain? They should have stopped it. They should have said, no, we are a part of God's people, and God's people don't worship that. God's people worship God alone. But nobody did that. Nobody intervened until Moses showed up. So when this plague comes on the people who are left at this point are the people who repented and the people who were passive. Let me put it this way. Sin is ruinous because there is no escape. There are no passive participants in sin. Sin is we're all in. Everyone has sinned. Every sin is sin. And even passively saying, that's not my thing, but I'm not going to get in the way of it, is also rebellious. The plague comes even after the Levites clean house, because God was saying, you have put up with sin in your midst. You've been okay with sin, and so therefore there is even judgment for that. We are ruined because there is no escape. A couple of verses in the New Testament, we're going to close with this. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. If you, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So what's the point here? He's saying, when we live according to the appetites of our flesh, that is, that part of us that is not yet whole, when we live according to the appetites of our own desire, it leads us into death. What he is saying as believers is we ought not to live according to the appetites of our flesh. Instead, we should live by the Spirit. Now, this is a really interesting contrast we don't have time to get into right now, but let me just do it briefly. He is not saying, instead of living bad, live good. He is saying, instead of pursuing your own appetites, live by the Spirit. The reason that's an important distinction, he is not saying, stop being bad so that you can be good. What he is saying is, because you have the Spirit, God has made you good. God has made you holy. Therefore, live according to who you are in Christ. Stop living according to the old nature, which God has done away with. Instead, live according to the Spirit who indwells every believer. What he is saying, with the Spirit in us, wouldn't we want to put to death those appetites that will lead us away from God? And you would say, well, yeah, I do, but sometimes I don't want to. The call here is for us, even as believers, to say, I want to live as though I am dead to the appetites of my flesh. The appetites to make myself more amazing than I am through lying. The appetites to pursue my own sufficiency through greed. The appetites to try and find meaningfulness and significance in relationships, even if it's not my spouse. These are all appetites that lead me away from God. And what the Bible is saying, why don't we live by the Spirit, meaning allowing God himself to fulfill our desires. All sin will lead to destruction and death. If we want to live a life of life, we live by the Spirit. Okay, look at James chapter 4, verse 17. James chapter 4, verse 17. Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. All right, so this is a new kind of thing. This is a flavor, we're saying here, of disobedience, which is kind of like those Israelites who just stayed in their tents during the idol worshiping party. Because sometimes we say, well, you know, I'm not that bad off because, frankly, I don't do anything bad. Or when I do something bad, it's pretty G-rated. But what we're learning from James here, he says, it is also a sin to know when God has called us to do something rightly and we refrain from doing it. It's also a sin when God calls us into obedience and we say, well, I'm just going to pass on that. I forget the reference, but it's in either 1st or 2nd Peter. Husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way. The women are, I see you. It gets worse, guys. or so that your prayers aren't hindered. No big deal. For God to answer your prayers, husbands, simply understand your wife. Say, how is that possible? And I'm not saying anything about the ladies here. This is just relational difficulty. We just speak different languages often. And what we're saying here, the Bible is calling us into obedience. You say, well, I'd understand my spouse, because this really can go both ways. I would understand my spouse a lot better if they would just simply think and act like I do. Praise the Lord. Let me put it this way. What if Jesus would have come to us on our terms instead of understanding where we were? What if he would have said, you know, when you finally figure me out, I'll come and handle your business for you. When you figure out what I'm about, I'll finally come in and provide what you need. What's the problem with that? We never would have understood. So Philippians chapter 2 makes it quite plain. He humbled himself, leaving the glories of heaven, not grasping onto his need to display his glory as God. He humbled himself and became obedient to death on a cross. So what he did is exactly what Peter is asking husbands and wives to do for each other. Live with one another in an understanding way, not expecting them to meet you on your terms, but instead meeting them on their terms. The reason he's calling us to that is because that's what Jesus did for us. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin, primarily because Jesus understood the right thing to do and he did it. And one of the fundamental ways Christians can glorify Christ in their life is knowing the right thing to do and by the grace of God, getting it done. And not doing the sin of saying, that's not my deal. But engaging with people in obedience, serving others, meeting the needs of others, humbling ourselves below others. Sin by doing nothing. Sin by saying nothing. Sin by being passive. Okay, last verse. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians 6, verse 1 says this, brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression, that's a fancy word for doing something naughty. If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him. Okay, we're out of luck. Okay, just do the best we can with what we got, okay? You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. This is where we discover the nature of sin in the community of people. We're responsible for one another. Let's put it this way. There is sin in your life you've struggled with, and the plan God has for helping you overcome your sin is somebody's going to come in and speak the truth into your life. There's a challenge we face as a community of believers. Number one, none of us want to do that. Anybody want to do that? Nobody wants to do that. But the Bible calls us as believers to go into one another's life and say, hey, I don't know if you see this in you. And I want to show you something that maybe you're missing in how your life is being lived. The other thing is none of us want anybody to do that. If you've ever had that occasion where somebody comes to you and says, hey, this is an area in your life where you're missing, what you do in that moment is you put on your defense attorney hat and you say, now it is time for me to explain to you how wrong you are. Because none of us enjoy being that. We are responsible for one another in love and in grace and humility to bear one another's burdens, to carry one another. And when we see something in one another's lives, to lovingly and graciously say, I don't know if you see what's going on in your life. Not to be those Israelites who go to our tent and say, I'm going to just pretend like nothing is happening. We go to our brother or sister in the Lord and say, hey, I just want to tell you what I see. And maybe God will use this in your heart and in your life to draw you closer to Christ. Just a couple of warnings on that. Number one, this comes out of relationship. Don't go up to somebody you've known 5 minutes and explain what their sin is. You don't have a relationship with them yet. Secondly, if you have a relationship with somebody and the only thing you're contributing is all of their sin, you're missing it too. Don't be the person where every time you walk in the room, everybody scatters. Okay, here comes the exhorter. He's going to let everybody know what their sin is. We need to understand. It doesn't mean every conversation you have needs to explain to somebody how bad they are. It means by the Spirit's prompting. Notice what it says in Galatians there. Restore him in a spirit of gentleness. That means out of love and grace and recognizing I have my own sin to contend with, to tell somebody the truth about what maybe is going on in their life. Ruined. Because we walked away. Ruined because the damage is permanent. And ruined because there is no escape. Of course, it would be depressing to end there. So just real quick. How do we escape? What is the way out? Number one, we've mentioned it before. Jesus alone pays the full price for our sin on the cross. Jesus alone pays the full price for our sin on the cross. Moses can't do it. You can't do it. Nobody else can do it. The only one who can receive on himself the full penalty for the damage you have done is Jesus himself. He is the only one who can receive the full price of our sin on the cross. Jesus alone is the mediator who can give us new life. He is alone is the one who has never sinned. He is alone is the one who can become sin for us. He is alone is the one who can bury that sin in the grave, rise from the dead, and leave it there. So he can go up on the mountain for us. When Jesus goes up and stands before the Father for us, he doesn't say to us, perhaps I can make atonement for you. When Jesus does it, he says, atonement is done. If I remember his words correctly on the cross, what was it? It is finished. Then he dropped a mic. I mean, he would have, but that's his way of saying, it is done. Devil, you're dead. Game over. Victory won. There's nothing left to accomplish in Christ. He took our sin, buried it, left it in the grave, rose from the dead, and said, who wants to go to heaven?
Pastor Greg Spires with some encouraging words for how the penalty for our sin has been paid on our behalf through Christ's victory on the cross. And we hope you'll stay with us for more lasting hope, including Greg's closing comments in just a moment. And by the way, this and many of Pastor Greg's messages are also available for listening online at lastinghope.org. During these uncertain times that we live, many people are experiencing fear about life and the future, especially if you read the daily news. But in Pastor Greg's Lasting Hope newsletter, he shares stories of hope and offers biblical wisdom that will encourage you in these challenging days. You can sign up to receive Greg's Lasting Hope newsletter when you go to lastinghope.org. That's lastinghope.org. Greg Spires is a lead pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. And if you don't have a church home of your own, Pastor Greg would like to invite you to attend our in-person church services at FBC. You can join us for worship and a message from Pastor Greg at 9:30 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and we'd love to meet you in person. If you can't attend, we also continue to stream our services online at lastinghope.org. Just go to our website at 9:30 or 11 a.m. on Sunday and click on the link at the top of the website that says Watch Service Live. Again, go to lastinghope.org. Our website also has more information about Lasting Hope and the various ministries of FBC. Again, go to lastinghope.org. Finally, Lasting Hope is committed to bringing people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you'd like to know more about what it means to know God, we have a special page on our website that will walk you through the steps to knowing God. Just go to lastinghope.org and click on the link, Knowing God. Well, here again is Pastor Greg, closing with a look forward to a life forgiven and reconciled for eternity.
How do we escape in Christ alone? We'll close with this, Exodus 32, 34, second to last verse. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon him. The Bible talks about a particular day over and over and again, cover to cover, talks about this day. It's called the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is that great day when Jesus shows up and it is on. It's no more hiding, no more mystery, no more parable. Jesus shows up and says, I'm in charge. It's called the day of the Lord. It's a day of trouble for those who have rejected him. It's a day of great joy and celebration for those who are in him. The day of the Lord is coming. He will visit those who are in him, having acknowledged their sin and receiving his new life. On that day, we'll say, let's do this. Those who have decided on their own to say, I can handle my own business, the day of the Lord will be a day of great trouble because finally their sin will visit them in full. We need to recognize this as people and say, where am I? Am I looking forward to the day of the Lord because my sin is atoned for, because he buried my sin in the grave? Or if Jesus showed up today, I'm not sure how that conversation would go. What Moses is calling us to do is put our reliant faith on the one who buries our sin in the grave. Receive his forgiveness. Live connected to God. Some of us say, well, religious people are so constrained. The air hose only goes so far. This is the problem we have that we have to wrestle with. For some reason, we assume whatever is out of reach of that air hose is better than what Jesus is providing us. Something we must do over time as we have relationship with God is realize whatever we're reaching for that he says no to is actually not as good as what he's given. We need to live our lives connected to God, let sin die, and live by the Spirit.
Pastor Greg Spires closing out a message titled Ruin here on Lasting Hope. And that's all the time we have for today, but please join us next time as we continue in the book of Exodus. That's next time on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires. Lasting Hope is the radio ministry of FBC in Medford, Oregon.